All right, we're going to finish today where we started last Lord's Day, Genesis chapter 24. We have been going through this wonderful history. I would emphasize that. I put an H-I on the front of story, because what we read in the Bible are not just nice little stories and moralisms. This is actual, credible history of what God was doing in the lives of His chosen people. Abraham was seeking a bride for his son, Isaac, and he sent out his special servant to get a bride. So we're going to begin reading, it's quite a long chapter, so we're going to begin reading in the 32nd verse, verse 32. We've already read this last week, so we'll take up at the 32nd verse. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. It was Rebekah's family that was supplying these things for the man and those that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure, or what if, the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred, and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath when thou comest to my kindred. And if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. And it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I have done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go. and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions. And let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels. And they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the fields at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah. And she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Amen. I trust that the Lord will come today and give us understanding according to His Word, that the Holy Spirit would cause us to see not only this history, but even the great spiritual truths that lie behind it, for Jesus' sake. Last week I told you that this chapter is not only a true history of love and marriage, it is also an allegory that shows to us God the Father sending the Holy Spirit out into the world to woo and to win a bride for God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we are finishing by looking at the last part of the chapter. And here before us, we are considering the work of the gospel preacher even, which God the Father has sent forth to gather a bride for the Son in this world. So here in this chapter, the work of the gospel preacher. So we see Abraham's servant representing the gospel preacher. And I would just note with you three facts about Abraham's servant. Number one, he was delightfully pleased with his master and with his master's son. He was very happy with them, and he was glad to be their representative. The second thing, because he was so delightfully pleased with his master, staying with him so many years of his life, he therefore desired to please his master. His master not only pleased him, he wanted to do everything he could do to please his master. And then thirdly, he diligently pressed for decision. In this home, he pressed for decision very diligently in favor of his master. So first of all, he was delightfully pleased with his master and with his master's son. Actually, he was consumed with a faithful, loving dedication to his master. how many, many years he had served. We are not certain. Perhaps he had come from Ur of the Chaldees with Abraham. We do not know. But the evidence is quite clear that he was very taken up with his master. He admired his master. He was glad to serve him. And in this chapter, he refers to his master no less than 22 times. That's like in every third verse of the chapter, he's mentioning his master Abraham. How he loved his master. And by faithfully serving over the course of many years, he showed his great pleasure and dedication to his master by praying that his master's great purpose of this errand would be fulfilled to the satisfaction of his master. So he gave himself to prayer. He was a man, you notice the many times, we only read half the chapter, but this man worshipped the Lord himself. When he says, here's the Lord working, he just had to bow down and worship each time. He could not contain himself. He was so overjoyed with the Lord's goodness. And he prayed that the master's great purpose would be fulfilled. So he was a man of faith and a man of prayer himself, not just his master. He had learned much from his master. How good that was. Notice the 12th verse of this 24th chapter. We didn't read that today. But in verse 12, he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. And he goes on, verses 13 and 14, he continues communing with the Lord. He knew that in order to accomplish the mission, prayer was an essential. Prayer was a very important part of his mission if he was to see his mission fulfilled. A very essential element, the element of prayer. And we know that he was delighted with his master because he spoke very well of him. Notice verse 35. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he is become great. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. All his master's greatness he declared was due to what? The blessing of God. It was not that this man demonstrated such adept agricultural acumen. It was not because this man was such a shrewd businessman that he prospered. God had made Abraham great, and he had made him very wealthy. His master not only owned great flocks and herds of animals, he was a possessor of much silver and gold. And he had brought a quantity of it with him, just to show that what he was saying was not hot air. But he had the facts to back it up. He also had a great household of men servants and maid servants. He spoke well of his master, and he spoke well of his master's son. The birth of that son into the world was a great miracle that astonished many people. His mother was very old when his master's son was born. The master's son is the heir of all the father's wealth. He is the well-beloved, the delight of his father. The father has given to his son all that he has, we read in verse 36. And unto him hath he given all that he hath. Well, since he had such a wonderful master, the servant desired above all things to please his master. So before any food could be eaten, before they could sit down and take their rest, the servant seized the moment to obey his master's orders. He had come there for one purpose. he meant business. So he stated his very reason for entering into their home. He had come to get a wife for his master's son. Point blank. I have come here to get a woman, a wife, for my master's son. She must leave her home. She must leave her family. She must go on a long journey. And then become one with the master's son. He needed a woman who was willing to leave the world behind and to go and live a pilgrim life with her husband in a strange land. Now, that was not an easy task. You know, if he had had a, you know, one of these, what do you call them? I don't know, what's that thing you carry around, Jacob, you see all the pictures on? iPad. He didn't have an iPad, but if he'd had an iPad, it could show this lovely castle, you know, with the moat all around it and the drawbridge and, you know, trumpeters there ready to greet at the, you know, the lowering of the drawbridge and say, you know, this is what we're taking Rebecca to a wonderful kingdom. And she's going over there. And no, she was going to live in the desert. Something of a desert land and going to a place where there was drought and famine sometimes to live in a tent, to move about from place to place where they could find some grazing for their flocks and herds. Well, he hoped that since he had prayed that he had found the right person. This servant of Abraham believed that Rebekah was the answer to his prayer. But whatever the response would be in that home, the servant desired to know that response. So, this chief object in life was to please his master. So we come quickly now to the last point. He diligently pressed for decision in favor of his master. And it's here we will abide just a little. Look at verse 49, if you would please. And now if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master. It's not so much how you deal with me, but how are you going to deal with my master? Tell me. If not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. And what was the response? Laban and Bethuel were greatly moved by what they had been told. Verse 50. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord Jehovah, the God of the covenant, has spoken." Wow. They believed that the providence of God had been demonstrated in ordering all of the circumstances in this whole issue. They could see that here this man had sincerely prayed, and immediately she had come and done exactly what he had prayed to the Lord would happen. Abraham's servant then pressed for decision. For he knew that it would not only bring rejoicing to his master, but it would bring great rejoicing to his master's son. His master's son had not only recently lost his mother, but he had had that experience on the altar of sacrifice. And there the gospel was so clearly revealed on Mount Moriah. And now, having come through that ordeal, he would be greatly comforted to have a wife to bring joy to his heart. What a joy it would be for this servant to take to Isaac the right woman. Well, Abraham's servant pressed for a decision because he knew that it was not only the right thing for Isaac and Abraham, he believed that it was the right thing for Rebekah. that if he could persuade Rebekah to go, the young woman would be settled for life. She would be the queen mother of a great household, and she would have plenty and all that she could desire for the rest of her days. If you look at verse 53, "And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. And he gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things." There was so much good to bestow on this woman if she would only go. Now what will it be? He asked in verse 39, "Now if you will, deal kindly with me and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me. I want to know right now. If the answer is no, I'll go elsewhere. If you're not interested in my master, if you're not interested in his son, then I know someone else will be wise. Someone else will have the foresight to join with them. Tell me, because I must be going." He says in verse 54, "Send me away unto my master. I've been here long enough." The response showed a purpose and a desire for delay. Let's put this decision off. We don't really want to do this right now. Let us think about it. Let's get used to the idea that our precious Rebekah is going to be going away. We may never see her again. And she's going on this long journey across the wilderness. Something dreadful could happen to her away on that journey. The servant replied in verse 56, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." He said, "Hinder me not. You know the Lord has been in control of this whole matter. When the Lord is working, it's not time for delay. It's time to keep moving. It's time to go forward." And then Rebekah was asked in verse 57, and they said, "We will call the damsel," and inquired her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." There was no delay. She was ready to go and to be wed to her near kinsman. So she went on the journey across the barren wilderness, and she was wed to Isaac. She entered into the enjoyment of him. And she entered into the enjoyment of all the riches that he possessed for life. Now that's the story. But I am here today like Abraham's servant. I am a servant of the Eternal Father who is mighty to save. I am a servant of the one who has delivered me from the bondage of Satan, who once held me captive. He has brought me into a saving relationship with His Son. And I love my Master. And I love to serve Him. I am happy to give my life in service to Him, the great and gracious God. I desire nothing else in life but to serve Him, to be of some use to Him. I am here to tell you that divine providence has brought us together in this house today. We have prayed over and over again for many of you. We pray for the salvation of your soul. We want you to know the joy and the peace that comes from being in union with God's Son. We want you to enjoy the security and the happiness that comes from being in Christ. So I ask you, wilt thou go with this man, my master's son? He is offering you himself. He is offering you eternal riches. He is waiting for you in the far country. He has sent me here today to invite you. Come to him. He invites you. And I invite you in his behalf. Come to him and be his and share his riches. Not only in eternity, but the unsearchable riches of Christ are those things that are begun to be unfolded even in this life. We begin to taste a little, as old Samuel Rutherford said, "The streams on earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above." He promises in John's Gospel, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." If you come to Him by faith today, if you will simply trust Him as your everlasting God, you will have a fortune that will be made for eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ is He who said, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Tell me, will you come to Him today? I know that some of you have thought about it before. All you're waiting, all you're delaying, all you're thinking about it, has it done you any good? I pray that God's Spirit will bring you to an immediate decision today. Don't go home to think about it. Why think about it this week? Why continue another week lost and in grave danger and peril through the days of another week? God's Word says, "He that believeth not shall be damned." Turn ye, turn ye, turn from your evil ways, for why will you die? The Lord has brought this message to you today. And the Lord has brought you to this message. Jesus Christ has already suffered for all the sins of all those who will ever trust in Him. Come and rest today upon His atoning sacrifice. Give yourself to Him wholly, unreservedly, and He will take you. Do not delay. Do not delay. Do as Rebekah did. She said, "I will go." And she went to the Master's son. She was wed to him. And I believe she never regretted that she had gone there to him. She said, "I will go." So I ask you one final time, wilt thou go with this man? Let us pray together. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast demonstrated Thy love to us. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, we praise Thee that our Savior is not dead, but He is risen. He is living. He is ascended. He is enthroned. He is reigning. And He is coming again. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless the old message. We pray that Thou wilt make it new in the hearts of those who do not know Thee today. Lord, cause them to earnestly and honestly to do business with the living God. And please, Lord, do Thy work in hearts today for Thy everlasting glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.